I'm going to return to the book of Acts today. Acts chapter 9, beginning to read with the 26th verse, and we'll read down through verse 35. Acts chapter 9, beginning to read with verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest, the church rest throughout all of Judah and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. It came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank and praise you the wonderful opportunities that you give us to come and to enjoy the teaching of the Word and to read your precious Word together, to come together. I pray, Father, that you will bring this country back, that we will take your Word out and you will save multitudes of souls, that we will be able to continue to come and not be suppressed by the enemies that discourage and deny the presence of the Lord, deny the blood of Jesus, deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Please, dear Lord, that you just will bring us forth with boldness so we may speak your words, and that they will hear it, they will respond to it, and they will come. And Father, we don't need to go outside these four walls for that to happen. Father, you may have brought someone in today that does not know you as their Savior. They need to respond. They need to come. And Father, as we looked at Pharaoh this morning, as he continued to harden his heart, it wasn't till after he refused the Lord. He refused to let the people go. He refused to do what the Lord had commanded him to do. The Lord hardened his heart. That's what happens today if we sit here and just continue to reject this precious gospel. Please, dear Lord, don't let that happen to anyone that's here today. That they will hear your word, they will respond to it and come by faith and be born again. Please speak to our hearts now, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kind of catch us up just a little bit here. We find that Paul saved on the road to Damascus. Shortly after that, he went to Arabia for 3 years. Then he returned back to Damascus, and then he comes up to Jerusalem. And so that's where we pick him up here in verse 26. And so it's not that, you know, we just read over here in the beginning of chapter 9 that Paul is saved, he's born again. But he stays there in Damascus for a period of time. Then he goes to Arabia, and he's in Arabia for 3 years. and the Lord is teaching him, much like he did with Moses. And so he takes him into the wilderness. And so he took him into Arabia for 3 years, and then he brings him back, and he does not return immediately to Jerusalem or come to Jerusalem, but he returned to Damascus, and there he began to preach the word of God. And that's where we find him down here in verse 20 is where that begins, where he's returned back to Damascus, verse 20 of chapter 9. And then he enters and comes up to Jerusalem. He did not come to Jerusalem to be ordained as an apostle. The Lord has ordained him. The Lord has set him forth. The Lord has called him to be an apostle. He did not come before Peter or for the other apostles in Jerusalem that they would give their blessing to him. He came to see them. And he really came, I believe, the Lord brought him up to see Peter. And so we find now that he has arrived to Jerusalem. And we find two, I believe, totally different personalities, Peter and Paul. I think if there are two opposites, I think they're probably as far on each end. Peter, he just is so impulsive all the time. And I believe Paul, when he moves with a plan, and he doesn't divert from that plan, and he knows exactly what the Lord would have him to do. And yet both of these men were totally committed unto the Lord, were outstanding apostles. They were servants of the Lord, taking out the word of God. So I think God's given us a couple of things here. I think he shows us, no matter what your personality, the Lord will use you if you surrender to him. And we have that with Peter and I say Paul, but it's still actually Saul. When Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he came to Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself to the disciples. He come to meet with them, to join them. But we find that joining wasn't greeted with open arms when he arrived in Jerusalem. Understand now that Saul has been absent for 3 years. He was in Damascus for a very short period of time, went to Arabia for 3 years, back to Damascus for a period of time. Now he's up to Jerusalem. What does the apostles in Jerusalem and the people, the Christians, the saints in Jerusalem know about Saul? They know him as Saul of Tarsus. And remember the gentleman that the Lord sent to bring Saul's eyesight back. He says, "Wait a minute, that's Saul of Tarsus. I'm not going to go do that." And the Lord gave him his word that it was fine, and he went. And so we find here that what kind of rumors floated around in Jerusalem about this man named Saul? I mean, what kind of thought was there? Did he do that thing on the road to Damascus just to deceive us so he could get right in the middle, and then he's going to trick us and capture us all and have us all put to death? I'm sure those rumors went. How many times do you hear someone that's born again? And what's the first word, especially if they were kind of ornery? It's not going to last. It won't last. Well, they would have said the same thing about Saul. The exact same thing. This isn't real. It's not going to last. Well, the difference is that when you are born again and you're covered in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, it is different than you and I just deciding to change our mind and do something a little bit different. This is, you're born again. You've been made new. And so was Saul. And so Saul arrived in Jerusalem. He was not exactly received with love. For again, this was the Saul of Tarsus is who they remembered. When he left Jerusalem with the papers to arrest. And even though 3+ years have passed, their memories had not totally lapsed on this. They remembered this. But there was a man named Barnabas that stepped in and took care of this. The Lord took care of that. And so now as we look here in verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so now this Barnabas moves in and brings together Saul and Peter, and I believe James was probably there, maybe some others. But we know Peter was present. And so Barnabas was from Cyprus, and so he was not far from Tarsus, which is Saul's home. And so he maybe knew more about Saul than most, and yet he trusted in the Lord's salvation that brought him. So Barnabas explains to Peter and to James that how Saul of Tarsus has met the Lord Jesus, and now he is saved, and he is out preaching the Lord Jesus. And so whatever rumors are rolling around, Barnabas puts a halt to him and says, this man is real. And so he is called to be an apostle just like we are. And so then we come to verse 28. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So Paul received the fellowship of others. They accepted him. They recognized him as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They accepted him as an apostle. And now the persecution begins. And so this man named Saul went from a persecutor to a proclaimer of the Word of God. And so what a joy. And we could do the same. We could, the day we're born again, we go from one that's causing a stumbling block to folks. We can come to be the one that begins to proclaim the Word of God and bring the lost to the Lord Jesus. Now, we find here that the Grecians, they went about, the Grecian Jews, they opposed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ equal to what Saul of Tarsus did. And they hated this intervention of this the Savior. They didn't, he was not the Savior. They denied that he was the Savior. He didn't come as a king. He's not the one. And so we need to put a stop to all those that proclaim the gospel. And these Grecian Jews set out to do that, and they went about to slay Saul, the scripture tells us. Now, when we come to the 30th verse, which when the brother knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. And so it's important. I've always shared with you that I have two Bibles as I study. I also have the concordance over here. And many times while I'll have the Bible dictionary open, it's got a pretty good set of maps in it. And so I'm always looking at the maps, because when we read through here and we read these places like Caesarea and Tarsus and going to Arabia and going back to Damascus and all those, look that up. Don't just read it. Travel with Saul. See where he's been. Look those places up. Follow through, because when you do, it kind of sticks in your mind a little bit more, and you remember it a little bit better. So get that map out and look at it to kind of see where he's been. And so now if we go over to Caesarea, why, you're going to go over to the coast. Now, he says he went to Caesarea and then up to Tarsus. Now, he could have went by boat. It doesn't tell us how he got there. But if you'll look at it, Caesarea is right on the coast. And if he went to Tarsus, he should have went straight up out of Jerusalem and around to Tarsus if he'd have traveled by land. I think he probably went over to Caesarea, caught a boat, and went home to Tarsus. This is the first time, and this is really the only time it's ever mentioned that Saul is ever back home at Tarsus. And so he has returned now. It's a little over 3 years. They bring him down. They bring him out of Jerusalem. And if you'll look on the map, it's a pretty good distance. It's about 120 miles from Jerusalem over to Caesarea. It's a pretty good drive. It's a pretty good drive. Or walk, if you want to look at it in that way. It's between Joppa and Tyre, as you look onto the map there. And so, now, if you'll notice, we find then, and so we've got Saul back home in Tarsus now. Now, he's just been to Damascus and was saved. He went to Arabia, and then he come back to Damascus, and then he's come up to Jerusalem, and now because of preaching the gospel, he desires that those to put him to death. So now the brethren, they take him, get him over to Caesarea, and send him home to Tarsus. Now something takes place here at this time, and I'm going to read verse 31, and then we're going to go back to the 11th chapter of Acts, because we're going to see when Saul rejoins them. There's a time period here. And so in verse 31, it says, then had the church, now it says churches there, but it's actually the church. It's not speaking of many churches. It's speaking of believers. And we are the church. We're not churches. We're the church, a body of believers. We're the saints of God. And so when you look at that word there, then had the church rest throughout all Judah and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. Now, we're going to look at those words, but so it seems that there is a calm for a short time now in the region. But let's go to the 11th chapter of Acts, because I want you to read with me chapter 11, verse 19, all the way through 26. Now, let's pick up here just a little bit. Again, many times when you're studying the Word of God, understand that it's not necessarily according to date and time in line. Sometimes you go back and pick some information up. You know, you do that if you read through the Bible and you start with Genesis and you read all the way to Malachi. If you read it as it's in the text here, you'll find things are out of kelter, because things are not placed by time in the Old Testament. And so you kind of need to go back and forth to know what it is. Get a Bible that looks really confusing, because it has everything in chronological order. Try to find something in that Bible. It's fun. But now, verse 19, let's see what's taking place here. Verse 19 of chapter 11 of Acts. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Once again, you need to get your map out to see all those places. Cyprus, of course, is a little island out there. And you hear much of Antioch and Phinehas. And so now Stephen traveled as far. Stephen. Now, Stephen's been put to death. And so, but that got the gospel out. And now in verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great multitude believed and turned unto the Lord. The tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. And again, you need your map out. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. See, Saul went to Tarsus back here in the 9th chapter. Now they're going back after him now. He hasn't been into the picture until now. They're going back to Tarsus to see him, to seek Saul. And when he had found him, verse 26, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians in Antioch. And so that's the first time that statement is made. And so I want you to recognize here in the 9th chapter of Acts that Saul leaves the picture. Saul leaves the sight. And so now let's take a look at this verse 31 back in chapter 9, because it's a very good text, very good scripture. It said, then had the churches rest throughout all of Judah and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And so this word edified, once again, do you just read those words or do you stop and look that up to see what does that mean? It the scripture says here that they were edified in the churches, Samaria, Judah, Galilee, Samaria, were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and were multiplied. That word edified is to be a house builder, to be a house builder, to be one that emboldens, and so to strengthen. And so when we find here, it is not to praise themselves, to edify themselves as we should edify the Lord. It's much different than that. Here it is to strengthen themselves, to be a house builder. In other words, to put this together, to strengthen it, to make it stronger. And with the conversion of Saul, it seems that the persecution has lessened. Even though the Grecians and others were still there very active, it seems like there was no Saul of Tarsus to take his place when he got saved. And things kind of settled down just a little bit according to this. And that word walking then in the next part, and we're edified and walking in the fear of the Lord, when we're saying to walk, it is a manner of life. It is your conduct. And so they are to be house builders. They're to embolden each other, to lift each other, to strengthen each other. Just exactly what we should be doing here as a church, as a body of believers. And so as they come together, and then the walking is their conduct. And so we find here that the church rests throughout all of Judah, Galilee, and Samaria. Were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. They honored, they praised, they had great reverence for the Lord. And then the next part here, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. In the comfort. You know, we were told the Lord Jesus, when he went home to be with the Lord, I'm going to send the Comforter. This is one of the few places in the Word of God that says the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And so what a wonderful statement here. It brings us back to that promise of the Comforter. The one who would guide the believer in all truth. That is the Comforter. When the church finds rest in the Lord, when Christians are edified and walk in the fear of the Lord, when comforted by the Holy Spirit, what happens? Believers are multiplied, the scripture tells us. All those things. edified. They're building the house. They're emboldened. They're strengthening the house. There's a rest throughout the land. There's a peace. And when that peace came, why, then it allowed them to really enjoy the presence. And again, I love that in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, because He leads us and He gives us strength and He gives us comfort. He leads the lost to the Lord Jesus, but to the believer, He is our strength and our power and our comforter. He is our guide. He's the one that leads us and brings us to be more like the Lord Jesus, because He not only introduced us to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus, but He also makes us more like Jesus. That's the work that the Holy Spirit is here. God the Son does what God the Father desires. The Holy Spirit does what God the Son desires. And so we enjoy the presence, the comfort of that. Souls are added to the church when these things take place. When the church finds rest in the Lord, when Christians are edified and walk in the fear of the Lord, and when comforted by the Holy Ghost, souls are added to the church. The joy of the work of the church, to rescue the perishing, to point men to the Lamb of God. What a joy each day to walk and look towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we look at this next text in verse 32, and it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters. We're going to start there next week. We're already out of time. I don't know where it went this morning, but it's gone. And so we're going to start with verse 32 next week, and we're going to watch Peter as he goes about and enjoys the power and the presence of God. And so please just read that next text and be prepared for it. It's wonderful to look into the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we close. Father, thank You as we watch this man named Saul, as he was Saul of Tarsus, evil and wicked and destroying, trying to destroy the church, any presence of the church, anyone that spoke the name of Jesus he wanted to destroy. And now you have saved him. He has accepted Your salvation, and now he is back, and he has come into the presence. He's met Peter, he's met James, he's probably met the other apostles. Then he began his calling to preach the gospel. It wasn't long, Father, that he had to come out and went Caesarea up, back up home to Tarsus. And now we're going to look at Peter and look at some work that's done here for the next chapter. And so please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us as we enjoy this precious scripture. I ask, Father, today, there was no one worse. Paul himself calls himself the filthiest of sinners. There's no one that was worse than him in man's eyes when it comes to the church. But dear Lord, we know when we're guilty of one sin, we're guilty of all. And so Paul feels that way. Each one of us should feel like we're the filthiest of sinners. And yet You saved us. Father, please, today, I ask that You'll just touch the hearts of those that are lost that are here. Don't let them leave today. They may have been here several times and left several times, but I beg that the call has not stopped, and that they can come to You and feel Your power and Your presence and have victory. There is no victory over our life without You. None. So please, dear Lord, just touch every heart today. Thank You for bringing us together. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.